Did you say the world stressed a lot about caring for beauty, right? I feel like you go to Target, you line up for the market, you see all those hoo-ya stacked about all these tips for various things, right? And it's not just only women, it's also guys, right? Guys, you know, we live in a day and age, sometimes some guys probably spend more time in the restroom fixing their hair than even some of the women out there, right? So, is South Korea, he said? Okay, I thought you had this look like, I'm going to confess, I'm dying my... for that, you know?
No, it's really disturbing. I watch makeup tutorials on YouTube.
Yeah.
And there's actually guys who have YouTube tutorials on makeup.
Like their channel. Now. They have their whole channel.
But, there's wow. There's a demo person.
They're doing their own makeup, and they're doing actual, like, makeup. Not even, like, just to cover up a few blemishes, but, like, full on.
And they have their own channel.
They fill their eyebrows in. They put eyeshadow, mascara, eyeliner.
Wow, okay.
All the whole nine yards. Like, ooh.
Wow, okay. So today we want to look at a biblical view of beauty. We want to ask, like, as much, because the world is always telling a certain thing about beauty, yes? And appearance. But we also want to say, I would also say if we're Christians, if we're going to be in a Bible study that's for couples, and we never talk about beauty whatsoever, we might be like, it might be like the same thing like how like certain fundamentalist church never ever talk about gluttony. Because they have potlucks every, you know, every few weeks, right? But there's verses that talk about gluttony, yes? So in the same way, we must also ask, what is a biblical view? Because I think it's one of those things, it's also the same thing, like, I think, like sex for kids. When you're a parent, if we never talk to our kids about it, it's not like they're never going to think about it. It's not like no one's telling them about it. If you just forfeit your influence on a kid, if someone else is imparting value, whether entertainment, school, their friends, culture, society, fill in the blank, okay? So I do think in the same way we must also think biblically, and I'm not, today there's not going to be no tip. The only one is just to go by the word of God, okay? That'll be the big trip, okay? So today, I want to look at today, we'll see five truths. How many truths? Five truths, so we could have a biblical view of beauty, and also I would even say a balanced view of beauty, okay? First thing first, let me ask you guys, is beauty a bad thing in and of itself?
No.
Oh, wow, that was quick, right? Okay. Obviously, you were probably attracted, for the men, you guys were probably attracted to your wife. Well, not was.
Did you say was? Yeah.
Sorry, excuse my tenses. When you began the relationship before, there was an attraction, and there is still remaining, abiding still, yes, and in the future. Let me clarify that real quick, okay? I don't want to get in trouble, okay? So today we want to examine five truths. Well, the first one is beauty itself is not bad, okay? Let's open up to Psalms 45. Let's open up. So I want to look at our first point is beauty in itself is not bad. And God's, I want to have this balance because sometimes we could be thinking like, oh, God hates beauty. Well, it could sound super hyper-spiritualized, but it might not necessarily be biblical, okay? Psalms 45, verses 11. Any happy volunteer want to read me verse 11? Psalms 45, verse 11. Any volunteer read me Psalms 45, verse 11? Thank you.
The king will desire your beauty because he is your Lord. Bow down to him.
Okay. Any observation from this verse that we just read? Does this verse show beauty is a bad thing or it can be a good thing? It can be a good thing, okay? By way of context, Psalms 45 is what they call royal wedding psalm, okay? It's a royal wedding psalm, so obviously wedding is also good, right? And part of good is also, you know, weddings have bride trying to look beautiful, yes? He is not trying to win the most disguised award, right? And part of that is verse 11, right? The king will desire your beauty. This is now addressing to the bride, okay? The king will desire your beauty because he is your Lord. Bow down to him, okay? Do you guys remember a long time ago we did a Bible study once about 1 Peter where Sarah called her husband Lord? And then we went around asking everyone, would you call? Like, since that time, I think we would probably even say, people would say less now. Like, if you're not, like, was like dating, like, oh, what? Then you're probably less now, right? Do you remember this, Nancy, you were there? The UCLA Bible study, do you remember this? I think I asked you.
No,
like, would you call Chris Lord?
I was in Amber's house.
Would you? I think we did it twice. We did at UCLA when we did First Peter. Did you remember what your answer was? You laughed and said no. Yeah. Wendy, would you call Victor Lord?
Right now?
Yeah, right now. It is kind of weird to me.
I still feel a little weird about that.
Yeah, I would be weird, you know. Oh, yeah, I think I made my sister angry, too, and everything else. If you guys remember that? Yeah, we were, like, in MS building when we went over there. You know, I know we mentioned it in a couples meeting again. But anyways, going back on, actually, I would be really weird if Nancy called me Lord. I think it would be, like, weird. That's like my wife coming to me and saying, hey, Pastor, like, what's Pastor Wayne, right? It's like, it'll be kind of weird. Okay? So Psalms 45, verse 11 does show that beauty is not bad because it says the king will desire your beauty, okay? By the way, Psalms 45 is actually a messianic psalm. It is a psalm about Jesus, okay? Now, right away, I know people will picture, oh, what, Jesus Christ getting married? If he's a king, what is that? That's weird, right? But it is, because Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 to 9, quotes Psalms 45, and says this is applied to who? Jesus, okay? Now, we might be weird because we think it's the physical marriage Christ has, but don't forget, Christ is married. Is he married to anyone? He's married to the
church,
okay? So we must not forget that, okay? Which actually, as we go on, we'll probably be challenged by a view of beauty. A biblical view of beauty will probably be a little bit different than those magazines out there, right? Vague, with all their vague idea of beauty, whatever else there is, okay? Let's turn real quick to Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 15, okay? Songs of Solomon, verses 1, 15. Say again. Oh, okay. Songs. There was a long time ago in one of our Bible studies, I think it was the same Bible study, I mentioned the word cosmopolitan, and Andrew gave me this look. You read that? No. The word cosmopolitan means someone that's very cultured, right? Not. And then I was like, Andrew's like, okay. I was getting kind of concerned. I said, no. Like, cosmopolitan means someone that, you know, he's refined. He understands the working of the world. You know, it's like the world's most interesting man. That kind of idea. Okay. Then that was another story in itself. But let's go on to Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 15. Any happy, motivated volunteer want to be reading the Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 15.
Does that feel better?
Good, huh? Oh, my. Okay, anyone want to read Psalms Solomon, chapter 1, verse 15?
Catch the
foxes, friends,
the little foxes that are
really that one?
Oh, was that 15?
215. 115. 115.
How beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful you are. Your eyes are like the...
Yeah, I'm not telling you guys to, you know, catch a fox and then ask, what does the fox say, right? Okay, so chapter 1, verse 16 of 15. By way of context, what is the book of Solomon, Song of Solomon about? What is it about, Song of Solomon? By the way, does your book say Song of Songs or Songs of Solomon?
Solomon.
Okay. Literally in the Hebrew, it's Song of Song. And when Hebrew, it repeats things. It's saying this is the best of the best, okay? So you guys remember Solomon? Was he very wise? Was Solomon very wise? Yes, right? By the way, did Solomon wrote a lot of Psalms and Proverbs? Yes, right, okay? So Song of Solomon, I think in the Hebrew, what it's trying to say is this is his greatest hit, okay? If you think of... Presley, Elvis Presley, he's dead, but apparently his album still sells better than even some of those new pop stuff like Justin Bieber today, okay? Because all those old people are buying it, right? Or, you know, people like classics, right? So same way, Song of Solomon is actually Solomon's song, but it's his Song of Songs, right? And in it, what is the Song of Solomon about? Or Song of Song? What is the theme about as a book? Anyone? You guys remember? You guys remember there used to be a guy that attended here? And before he came to couples meeting, do you guys remember I told you guys this before? He always asked me, I can't wait, Jimmy, for you to go through a Bible study through the book of, this is when he was single, you know, Songs of Solomon, okay? There was a guy that really wanted me to go over it, which is kind of bizarre. But anyway, that's another story in itself. But it's a good book to go over. But he couldn't wait to learn and go over it with his wife. You know, it was a guy that's very joyful, okay, about that, okay? So Song of Solomon is about what? Marriage, right? And relationship, yes, isn't that? And here in verses 15, it's what? This is, who's speaking here in verse 15? The man or the woman? It's the man, right? Because he's describing her in a certain way. Verse 15, this is a man telling a woman she is what? Beautiful, okay? That she is beautiful. I knew a guy once that once told me he never tells his girlfriend she's pretty because it might give the wrong idea. Then I scratched my head. It's one of those things, you don't have a Bible verse at that moment, but you kind of feel like, oh, I don't know if it's biblical. Reading this reminded me that it is okay and it is biblical, right? Beauty is not in of itself a bad thing, okay? Because here's this lover who calls his woman what? Beautiful, right? And notice what else that he prays. What body parts does he praise of her? Her eyes, right, are like what? Doves, okay? Let's also turn with me to chapter 4, verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. We'll just go through this real quick for the sake of time. 4, verse 7 says, you are altogether what? Beautiful, right? My darling, and there is no blemish in you, okay? So, this man is praising his lover. Maybe we should get Hannah. So, verse 7, Hannah, could you go? Chapter 4, verse 7, right? There is no what? Blemish, right? He's even saying that there's nothing wrong with her. Not only is she beautiful, he's almost in essence saying she's perfect. You know, according to his standards, she is perfect, right? Okay? So, I think that all this, as application, is we shouldn't have a fake, pseudo, like, high, false spirituality by saying beauty is all bad, okay? So I think the implication of this is not to say, oh, we should never, I never tell my wife she looks beautiful. That might be kind of weird, okay? It's like this false, super, hyper spirituality that's not necessarily godly or biblical, okay? Second application, nor should we think right away that beauty is automatically bad or evil, okay? I would say nor does it mean automatically. You know, if your wife is trying to look beautiful, you don't, like, say, hey, you're ungodly. That's not necessarily the right application from the Word of God, okay? So let's go on to the second point, okay? The second truth is beauty, the first part is beauty is good. So the first part is what? Beauty is
good.
Or as I phrased it, beauty is not bad in and of itself, okay? Point number two is also there is, though, a danger with beauty, okay? There is a danger, though, with beauty. Turn with me to Genesis 3:6. Especially if we do not have God's Word be above our experience of pursuing or judging what is beauty, we could easily get in trouble, okay? Genesis 3:6. Could I have a happy volunteer reading Genesis 3:6? Any volunteer want to read Genesis 3:6? Okay, Chris.
When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, also desirable for eating wisdom, she took some and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate.
Yeah. So in this verse, by the way, this is the description of the fall. This is actually verse 6 is the moment right before the first sin. And you see Eve's temptation was what? If you see verse 6, you notice she looked at the tree that God says, do not eat from that tree, of the knowledge of good and evil in terms of fruit. And when she looked at the tree, did she saw God's law? Or was she thinking that? No, she saw, what did she see it as? She saw it was a delight to her eyes. In other words, it suddenly became very beautiful, right? It's something now she says, it's beautiful, and the beauty is now going to be an idol above God's Word, above what God wants, and because it's beautiful, I want it, okay? And this is where trouble happens. There is a danger that comes with beauty, okay? Remember what I said earlier, beauty itself is not bad, but there is a danger that comes with that. You see, even with the first fall, the snare that Satan laid was also the beauty in her eyes of the first what, fruit, okay? Is there a danger with beauty? Yes, okay? Then we see, as if that was in a perfect world, there's a danger of beauty. Is there a danger of beauty in a fallen world? Even more so, okay? Turn with me to Proverbs 7:10. Proverbs 7:10. When we turn to Proverbs 7:10, could I have a happy, motivated reader read me Proverbs 7:10? Okay. Proverbs 7:10, by way of context, Proverbs 7 is describing, the whole chapter is a very vivid picture, okay, of a man that falls into, what, sexual immorality, okay? Actually, if you think about it, Proverbs 7, the woman described in Proverbs 7, is the very opposite of Proverbs 31, right? Proverbs 31 is a virtuous woman, a wife, and a mother who's going to cultivate and build her family. Proverbs 7, this lady that's described as harlot, she's what? She's an adulterer. She even says later on, like, oh, my husband is on a trip and he's away, right? And therefore, let's get together. And even she blends in false spirituality. Say, let's get together so we could even, you know, offer, you know, things to God also as well, right? Now, in Proverbs 7:10, you see the description of a foolish man who, what? Dances with temptation. He puts himself in a timing and place that's setting him up to fall. And then in verse 10, you see that the lady comes out, right? The lady comes out, and it says there, dressed as a harlot. I think the idea is not dressed as fully ugly where the man is reported. She didn't come out with a wearing a paper bag, okay? She didn't walk out wearing a paper bag, okay? And notice, there's this danger, right? That there's a danger where now the man falls because of beauty that's packaged in a certain way, okay? So we see that there's a danger with beauty? Yes, okay? It's like the bait in this case, among other things, okay? Let's turn also as well to, I think there's also a danger of the temptation of trusting in one's beauty, okay? Ezekiel 16, verse 15. Ezekiel 16, verse 15. Any volunteer want to read me that verse? Ezekiel 16, verse 15. I'll read it real quick. But you trusted in... Oops. The wind blew away my... but you trusted in your beauty and played the harlot because of your fame, and you poured out your harlotries on every passerby who might be willing. Okay? Now these are pretty... I mean, we're looking at... There's some pretty graphic passage, right? We have some little kids here. But remember the Word of God speaks truth, but it's still rated G. G for God, okay? Here in Ezekiel 16, the context is, this is God speaking through Ezekiel to Jerusalem. Jerusalem has sinned with idolatry, with forgetting about God, right? Now God compares Jerusalem to what? A daughter of God, God the Father. And this daughter now is growing up. God has rescued her from Egypt, from almost dying, from slavery. And now she decides to what? Shame her father by pursuing what? According to verse 15, trusting in her own what?
Beauty
and then playing the harlotry, right? I bring up this to say that the sin here, although we're not Israel, I think the analogy, in order for this analogy to work, there is a sense where trusting in one's beauty is wrong. Because who should we ultimately trust in? We should trust in God, okay? This is the person, I think, of the analogy. If someone who trusts in their beauty will get them away with things, okay? Trust in the beauty would always get whatever they want, okay? Or trust that with their beauty is their source of identity and value and worth, okay? Let's turn also as well to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, verse 17. Ezekiel 28, verse 17. Could I have some volunteer read me that verse? 28:17. Yeah. By way of context, this is now God addressing someone else, the king of Tyre. Okay, the country T-Y-R-E, not Tyre, like, you know. Tires. So it's actually the capital of up in near Lebanon. It's the Phoenician people, okay? But anyways, God is addressing them and is addressing their pride. And their pride, as you see in verses 17, is what? Their hearts were lifted up because of their beauty. I think we could draw the principle also as well that we shouldn't have all our pride based upon our what? Beauty, okay? We should not. There's a danger of that where you have pride from that. Now I think we should be grateful. Whatever God has given you, but I think there's a difference here when we lift our hearts, when we have all the pride that comes with it, okay? And we know God, what, opposes the proud and give grace to the humble, okay? So I think I think the other danger, for the sake of time, we won't look at verse. The other danger is also, well, beauty also comes with the sin of jealousy, right? And covetousness. also comes. You feel like, oh wait, how come God allowed this person to look like this? Or how come I don't have this? Or vice versa, the husband feel like, hey, how come my wife doesn't look like this? Or X, Y, or Z, right? So those are all the dangers that comes with beauty. Beauty is good. But if we do not view beauty through the lens of Scripture, through the glasses of Scripture, we are going to mess ourselves up, our marriage and our family, okay? As application, you see the danger that's posed by beauty, okay? You see the danger that's posed by beauty, right? Number two, do you live for the experience of pursuing beauty? Like, whether you're trying to attain it, or you're trying to marry someone that's beautiful? Or do you pursue and say, hey, I want to go by God's word. What does God's word value more than beauty? I want that as first, you know? The funny thing sometimes, talking about single guys, I realize I'm getting older too, and I'm married now. Sometimes when I talk to single guys, sometimes when I meet, and I, especially over lunch, when I'm meeting and they say, what are you looking for? You know, sometimes single guys say the most funniest things, right? They'll say, yeah, Christian. You know, they throw that in like sprinkle because they know it's the right thing to say. But sometimes they say things like, oh, but like, Lord God, like, I want to marry someone that's super, super beautiful. It was like, one of our young bachelor guys at our church, he's a young guy, once told me, like, he told me, Jimmy, I remember your three C's. I have my own three C's. Mine was like, you know, Christian, cooking, conceiving, okay? But anyway, that, you know, his idea was like, it was like something like a Christian, cute, and crazy about me. And I was like, what is this guy? Like, you know, what a yo-yo, right? What a yo-yo, okay? But at the same time, do you see the danger of that also as well, right? Do you live for the pursuit of pursuing God first and His value, okay? I think we must also be on guard, yes? Be on guard from beauty alluring or tempting people to fornicate or adultery, right? You guys realize for us married here, right? When we sin sexually, it's no longer fornication. Like two single people or more nowadays committing sexual immorality. It's adultery. And God's word has a lot more stronger things to say about adultery because of the covenant, right? It's broken, right? Do you remember the Old Testament? Fornication, is that a death penalty? Not necessarily, right? Sometimes they say, oh, why don't you just get married instead? Blah, 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 solution. But adultery in the Old Testament, Israel time, was it? Adultery, breaking a marriage covenant. Was that a death penalty offense? Yeah, it was, right? Okay. So put that in perspective, okay? So men must be on guard. Women must also put their trust in their beauty, okay? And sometimes you might say, oh, of course I don't trust my beauty. But sometimes we trust in it. The way it's shown is that we put all our value and our worth in what do we physically look like, right? Or we put all our pride on the line for it, okay? By the way, if our identity is on how we look, is that going to be very disappointing? Yes. Because you're going to die a thousand little deaths before you ever go to the grave. Because why? You're like, oh no, another part of me just disappeared. Oh no, I just have another wrinkle, right? That's sprinkled in my face, okay? All of a sudden, before you know it, you die a thousand little deaths, okay? You'll look and say, hey, I look different than a year ago, okay? Or you'll have kids, and you'll say, you know what? Oh no, I wish I used to be like this, but you know what? This is where we have to go to God for what? Our identity is in Christ, okay? So we must not put all our pride in our beauty, and we must also guard our hearts, because if beauty is above God, we can easily become, what, jealous or covetous, right? For the men, covet another person or an idea of a beauty, or for women also, like, you become jealous, envious of others, right? So that's a real risk that comes with it, okay? So let's go on to the third point. We must also realize beauty is fleeting, yes? Proverbs 31:30. I'll read this real quick. Proverbs 31:30. Anyone like verses that verse? Charm is deceitful, and beauty is what? What does your version say? Vain, okay? Is what, Wendy? Passing, okay? But a woman who fears the Lord, she should be praised. The word vain in the Hebrew is havilah. What did it mean? Basically means is a breath of air. Have you guys ever been in a cold morning, maybe in the winter? You go out, you breathe out, and then that breath just fades away. That's what it's saying. That beauty is what? Beauty fades, okay? Beauty is there, but it fades, right? It's not temporary. It is not temporary.
But notice what is contrast. God values what? That a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. That's in contrast to what? Beauty, okay? Also, don't forget, I'm just going to read this verse just for the sake of time. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore, do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day, okay? Outwardly, we're all what? As we get older, we're all getting what? We're all dying away, right? We're all decaying. True or not? You know, I imagine you guys were probably a lot more physically strong when you guys were 18 than now. I mean, there's some exceptions, or there's some guys that think they're an exception. You know, but overall, generally, we will be what? We are not the same, okay? Sometimes, you know, I think, you know, my wife, or whoever, oh wow, they never, a good example is Telly and Marilyn. I think they're ageless. Telly and Marilyn, you guys follow them on Facebook? I think, like, man, they never age. Until one day I stumble upon an old picture of TCAC, and I was like, oh yeah, everybody does age. I mean, they age well. They age gracefully. But let it not be forgotten that we will all, what, decay, okay? We will all decay, okay? Rebecca? Okay. Rebecca, go to Mama. So let us, so beauty is fading, okay? So as application, don't be surprised if you notice your body is not the same a year ago, okay? I want to speak to the mothers. Don't be surprised if you have a kid. You probably would be a little different physically than what you, you know. Uh-huh. But for me, I also feel that every, I need to be careful how I say this. Every stretch mark is a badge of honor, right? You know how Marines like love the idea of like, oh man, guys with scars on their face look so cool and stuff like that? Everyone is a badge of honor, right? Of bearing a child, okay? So I think we must see it in that way, okay? Don't be surprised as you're getting older. Even guys, we will also be fading, right, physically. And therefore, also, is what I think we must also realize, yet if, while that's fading, what should increase? What should increase? Our godliness, right? Our godliness, right? Do you see that in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians? That our inner man is what? Yet our inner man is being renewed. It's growing newer. It's growing fresh. It's growing better and renewed day by day, okay? So in other words, your Christian virtue is growing while your inner, your physical part might not be the same, is breaking down, okay? So fourth truth, in light of this, this could be pretty depressing, right? This could be pretty depressing stuff. But point number four also gives us some consolation, and point number five. Point number four is this. God is more concerned with the heart than physical appearance. Aren't you so glad that God cares more about our heart than our physical appearance? Because our physical appearance is all going to be what? Fading away, okay? 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 16, 7. We'll be done shortly. Hopefully. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Any happy volunteer want to read that verse? Abigail, 16 verse 7.
But the Lord said to him, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees.
God is reading.
For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Yeah, so God looks at the heart, okay? Just summarizing that real quick. God looks at the heart, man looks at the appearance. Have you guys ever realized most CEOs in America are usually pretty tall, right? If you look at statistically, presidents are usually very tall, right? Why is that? You ever wonder why? I think people are naturally drawn to tall people as leaders, right? I think people naturally are drawn to that, okay? But yet, when you look at God, does he care about appearance? Because when Samuel the prophet was going to anoint the second king of Israel, he saw Jesse's son. He knows he's one of Jesse's sons. And he saw the tallest one, and he thought, that must be him. But God says, you know what? That's not necessarily him, okay? And then it's going to pick David. So if that's a contrast, I think David was not that tall, okay? He probably was not that tall where he stood out and said, oh, that's going to be my president, or my king, okay? So as application of this truth, are you more concerned about where your heart is at there's this physical appearance, right? Are you more concerned about your actual heart-to-heart walk with God versus your outer appearance? Or judging people by the outer appearance? Do you hold it more to God's value over that physical beauty, right? And are you more concerned about attaining godliness more than attaining physical appearance that's attractive, okay? And last but not least, our fifth point, I know, thank you, by the way, you guys are persevering with me. Fifth point is pursue and be attracted to godliness as true beauty, okay? I'm not, from this Bible study, I don't want to be where you say, oh, we should never look pretty, okay? I don't want it where you guys go to church, you know, comb your hair, guys, and don't brush your teeth, okay? And wash your, you know, brush your fangs and wash your paws. And claws. That's kind of weird, okay? That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying, woman, therefore, this is not a sermon that says, thou shalt not put on makeup. That's not what I'm saying at all, okay? But point number five is we must pursue and be attracted to godliness as true beauty, okay? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Could I have Victor read me verse 3 and Edward read me verse 4? Would that be okay?
Your adornment must not be merely external braiding the hair and wearing the jewelry you are putting on the head. But let it be that hidden citizen of the heart has the perishable qualities of a gentle and quiet spirit and sufficient in the bed of God.
Okay. So we see here, this verse 3 tells us what we should not merely pursue, right? Outward beauty, as it says, like braiding of hair, wearing gold, jewelry, or putting on dresses, right? I don't think this means you don't do this at all. Because that doesn't mean, oh, I should never put on a dress, right? I should never do something like that. I think this idea is merely doing those things, okay? But notice verse 4, what do we pursue is instead what? True, deeper beauty, right? Which is godliness, right? A gentle spirit, a quiet spirit, which the Word of God says is precious in God's sight and is imperishable, okay? So as application, my sisters, my dear moms, pursue godliness. Don't forget. I think I'm glad I'm not a woman for many reasons. I don't know if I really have the time. I don't know if I really ever want to have all the time to spend time on my hair. I just like the idea of waking up and just having no hair to like push. You know, I just like the idea of just having a shaved head. Actually, if it wasn't for Pastor Andrew, I would have my head look like Francis Chan, shave all the way and grow a crazy goatee or something like that, right? But then, you know, Andrew says, well, that doesn't look really nice in a conservative Chinese church. But anyways, so we see, you know, women, you know, pursue godliness, okay? Pursue godliness. Men also as well. So this is also applicable for men also. So our standard of beauty must also be biblical, okay? What's your standard of beauty? What should be our standard of beauty? Every one of our standards should be similar in the essence, but might be different in the details, okay? First and foremost, I think every guy's standard of beauty is whoever your wife is at that moment presently in life, okay? So my standard of beauty should not be like, right now, shouldn't be like when I first dated her. When I was, what, 24 and Nancy was what?
No,
I wasn't 24.
No,
I was 21.
19.
Yeah.
19.
My standard of beauty should not be 19. By the way, when I'm 50 years old and my standard of beauty is 19, am I going to get in trouble? Okay. You bet you, right? I'm going to be weirded out when I hug my daughters and I'm going to be like creeped out. I'm not going to hug my daughter and my kids are going to wonder, what's wrong? Why can't my mom and dad hug me and show me love? And they're going to be so insecure because I messed up because I'm a weirdo, okay? So my standard of beauty should be my wife, whatever the age it is, okay? That's always going to be the standard, okay? Whatever else it is. And people say, oh, you can't change. Yeah, people could change. People could mess up their own standard by weird things, perverted things they add into it. So we can't have it change, okay? Secondly, ultimately, all of us, what we all share as men, is our standard of beauty is always going to be godliness, right? That our wife being godly would be the most beautiful part about her. Okay, her growth in godliness, her fruit of the spirit, right? And women, you sisters should pursue fruit of the spirit as what? As the fruit of the spirit, okay? As your standard of beauty, right? How do you attain this beauty? How do you attain godliness as a beauty? I would say you look to who?
How do you, Abigail, don't fake it, okay? How do you attain godly beauty? Godliness. How do you attain godly beauty? You look to God, right? By the way, let me ask you guys a question. Is God beautiful? Is God beautiful? Is there any verse that talks about God is beautiful? Now, we would say, wait, God is beautiful? Like, he's not a woman, right? But there's no verse that says God is handsome. But there are verses that say God is beautiful, okay? Turn with me to Psalms 27, verse 4. I would say the way we could become truly beautiful is by looking at God, okay? Is by looking at God. Psalms 27, verse 4. Could I have Chris read that for me?
One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple.
Yeah. Men do a lot of funny things to have beautiful things, right? Some people, when they like cars, they would what? Save all the money when they have a midlife crisis and buy that sports car that they always wanted. And they polish it really, really nice. And they stand around in the corner of the street with another guy and they gaze at it and look at it again and again and talk about it, right? Talk to me now, right? Some people like other things, right? Single guys, maybe it's comic books, they collect a whole bunch of it and they just gaze at it for beauty. Just merely for the value of just looking at it, right? But yet we see the most beautiful thing you could ever collect and gaze upon is God. We can't really collect it, right? But you gaze upon God. The beauty of God is what He wants the most, right? God is beautiful. The more you see God in His character, the more you as a sister will be transformed. The more you worship God for His beauty and His attributes, His holiness, His awe, His mercy, the more you become what? Holy? Well, you'll be merciful and gracious, right? And loving. And same thing for men. You will be growing in your attraction of your virtue also as well. Because you're beholding, there's a promise in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 18. The more you behold Christ, the more you will be what? Transformed. Okay? And that's the glory of God. This is where it comes in with the gospel. The gospel is what makes us continue to be old. I believe people don't necessarily become quote-unquote ugly when they're old. You can, right? You could become what? Your physical beauty fades and your true character of ungodliness, your stench of your ungodly virtues comes out and you become like a witch. The Witch of Oz and the Witch of Endor or Pasadena or whatever you fill in the blank where you live. Or you grow in godliness and you become those grandmothers at church who serve the Lord, who love the Lord, but yet younger ladies will say, wow, that's a very beautiful soul. She is a woman of God. That is the most beautiful woman I've ever met. And that's possible because of Christ working within us, saving us, and then not only grace to save us, but also to sanctify us. Pretty good God? Pretty good grace? Let's pray.